All right, welcome into the Walking Dead Rundown podcast from the Corey Truax Show. My name is Corey Truax. I broadcast live from Greenville, South Carolina on WLFJ Christian Talk 660 on Saturday mornings. And I talk about a lot of stuff that maybe not everyone has interest in, but everybody has interest in The Walking Dead. And so that's what we've been doing for Season 7 is coming together and discussing the content of each episode together and recording the podcast as we do it. So we're going to do that together now with my good friend Wesley Wooten. Hello, sir.
Hello.
All right, so Season 7, Episode 4, it was called Service. This is the Negan decides to come to Alexandria a little earlier than everybody expected to get half of their stuff, is how we will say it on the podcast. I have lots of thoughts on it. Let me just start with you and get your initial reaction to Season 7, Episode 4.
I mean, it's definitely a different pace. They've changed the pace from Episode 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is completely different. Last week it was like hope. This week it was despair again, but it was despair in a different way. I actually think that, which I'm sure we'll get into it later or whatever, I think it dragged a little bit. I think that the first episode, you saw how bad Negan was. And in this episode, it seemed like, I know it was necessary, but it seemed like they overdid it. Like, we know Negan's bad, but, like, why do we need 90 minutes of consistent bad Negan again? All I wanted was something dramatic, something else dramatic
yes.
to happen during it.
No, this is a – We didn't talk about this before we started talking about it on air. We haven't pre-discussed it.
No.
I'm glad there was your reaction because I had the same reaction.
Really?
It was, okay, I get it. Negan's the worst person in the whole wide world.
Yeah, we know this.
He's already bashed the heads in of two major characters.
Yeah.
I get that he's a bad guy, and so it was a little bit tedious. And also I'll ask it this way to you. It feels like it's asking too much of me, the viewer, to sit through you giving me no hope. Everything is Rick's emasculated. It's just utter despair and hopelessness. Yeah. How long can you watch a show where there's no hope at all?
Yeah. I wanted to see something. I mean, you saw a little bit out of Rosita. I thought that was cool because the episode was partly about her. You see Michonne trying to train a little bit, you know, which was kind of weird the way that she did that. I wanted to have a little bit more of something from her. But Rosita was cool. I mean, she definitely stood her ground. She had a serious stare down with Negan, which I thought was cool. I mean, I like when people buck up to him. That's like a cool thing. And then you see her, she goes out, she tries to get a gun, and then what we've all been waiting for to see, you know, he's got a plan to make the bullets or whatever, and so Rosita's like, I need you to make me some ammo.
Let me hit that Eugene point here really quickly. So they do away with all the guns. The guns are gone. But Rosita finds the wherewithal of a shell, because it was last season, I believe, they found the place where you can make all that stuff.
Yep, yep.
And what Eugene says there is, I can make the innards.
Yeah, right.
But we need the shells.
Yep.
And so that leads to something, right? That leads to, we're going to go find shells and make the ammunition to actually take out the saviors. So they did give you hope.
A little bit.
But after 90 minutes of total 100% despair, they finally got you to some hope.
Yeah, I thought that was awkward, too, that they would give you – it's like, oh, 90-minute episode, 90-minute episode. But it was just of the same – it was like Negan, like, poking Rick for 90 minutes. Like, okay, poke Rick for 45 minutes, but I want to see something. I want to see something crazy.
Yes.
I want to see something – I want to see somebody get killed or Rick, like – formulating some type of plan or somebody doing something upsetting happened.
Well, you know, even in the comic book version of where they are in the story right now, that's actually where Rick is. Rick is actually, he's got a scheme in the background, but this is a totally defeated Rick character. He's just, he's actually talking Michonne out of even trying. This is just going to be our reality. This is where we're staying. And I actually I was just sort of tired of watching it. It was, you got to do something else.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing. Like I said, it was the same thing over and over and over. And you wanted to see something. You wanted to see something out of Daryl. You wanted to see like a little side conversation with Rick and Daryl. Like, you know, how are you holding up? Even though Negan told him not to, you wanted to hear Daryl say, stand your ground or, you know, or something like that or whatever. And then that brings you back into it. You're like, oh, Daryl said something, you know. But it was just like, let me poke you. And then wait till next week.
For the Walking Dead podcast listeners, we're also doing this live on Facebook Live, to which I must say, hi to Randy, who thinks we should make Walking Dead great again. So that's a great reference there for where we... That's actually part... I want to get back into Daryl. I think that's the part of my frustration with how just dark Season 7's been. The whole country's depressed anyway. All of us are really... It's a frustrating time, and your audience is America-centric. Couldn't you just give some kind of hope at all? Just any little semblance of joy.
Something.
But let me give you back to Daryl. I thought that character, I don't even think he had any lines.
He didn't. He didn't. He said nothing.
Did he not? His facial expression, his body language, it was powerful to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he is broken.
Yeah.
And I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he spoke mountains by not saying anything.
By not saying anything at all. Right. I mean, Daryl looked utterly and totally just crushed, like he was the dog Negan wanted him to be. The other part of this was the saviors. So in the comic books, the saviors are obviously evil. They do horrible things. But they're not just jerks. They're not like bully jerks. There was a needless, let's go with Dwight, taking the water bottle from Rosita in the car,
yeah,
pouring that thing out. So it's not just Negan. Wasn't that the issue too? It's just the saviors being needlessly jerks to everybody?
Yeah, and I think it was a big difference from last week, because last week you got a little hope in Dwight, it seemed like. It seemed like Dwight was doing things out of, like, you know, Negan was forcing him to do it, so he had no choice. Like, he has a heart. And then you see him do this week, and you're like, okay, I really don't like you. Like, I didn't like you before, and then last week I felt like a little bit of hope for you. Like, yeah, maybe you were going to help Daryl a little bit, and now you do this, and I'm like, no, you need to die. Like, I don't like you at all.
When you saw him go get Daryl's bike, and I'm interested with those watching on Facebook Live too. Tommy makes a good point on the Facebook Live feed of this. They took the mattresses just to burn them.
Yeah.
You know, this is actually a thing the saviors did well in the comics. It was just, we want your stuff, but we also want you to be productive. So even when they came to Alexandria in the comics, it was, we'll keep some of your guns so that you can go do the work I need you to do to produce for me.
Yeah.
This was just the high school bully to be a high school bully. There was no purpose in it.
That's what it seems like with Negan. I mean, even his last comment to Rick, which we're not going to say on air or Facebook Live.
Yeah, not going to do that.
Or say it at all.
Yes.
But I mean, that's literally the analogy for the show. I mean, he did it just to do it. Just because he's able to assert that power. And Negan has such a rapey vibe, does he not?
Yeah.
I mean, he really does. I mean,
even his conversation about widows was right. A very rapey conversation about widows. I won't even use the language he used, but it was very, there's a lot of innuendo there about what Negan would do with widows.
And he likes saying that too, because he did that last week to Dwight. So his most trusted people, or if Dwight is one of, yep, his most trusted people, he puts them in their place in a nasty way all the time. So this is not like Negan stepping outside of his box to, like, right, make a point to Rick. This is Negan. This is who he is. He does it to Dwight, and then he almost did the same exact thing to Rick whenever he was talking about Maggie and Glenn.
We got more people joining the Facebook Live version of this. If you have thoughts on last night's episode, just go ahead and type them out there. I can see those. Your wife says hello. So, yeah, she's on the Facebook Live.
Hello.
Let me go back to Dwight really quickly. When he got the bike at the end, he rides by Daryl. He says, you can have it back. Yeah. Just say the word. What did you read there from Dwight? What's he trying to accomplish?
I think he's trying to accomplish getting more good favor with Negan. I mean, his job is to, and I could be wrong, but his job is to produce for Negan, and his job is to break Daryl down,
right,
and make Daryl work for him. Everybody can see Dwight wants to be Daryl. He wants to be Daryl. And Negan wants Daryl, because literally Daryl is the best at everything. He knows he is. He knows he can track. He knows he can shoot. I mean, he's the guy. He's the guy everybody would want.
Let me ask you this question to you, and then also to the if there are Walking Dead watchers on the Facebook Live feed. From the episode, as we've discussed, is somewhat tedious in that it continues to do the same thing over and over, yeah, and over again. We get it. Negan's a bad guy. He's already beat up people. How many more episodes can they do this? Just continue to make the same point over and over again, totally emasculate all of your favorite characters,
yeah,
before you just go, okay, I guess I'm done with this. I think if they don't pick some kind of hope up by the mid-season finale, I think I'm done with The Walking Dead. How many episodes more will you take of this? Or how many episodes more will you guys take of this?
Like one. because I mean, look, the second episode was fantastic, okay, with Ezekiel, getting to meet him, learning about the kingdom. And then the third episode I thought was just brilliant. I mean, you really
Me
just dug into Daryl, and I love Daryl. This episode, I think it needed to happen. But they made it a 90-minute episode. They're like, hey, here's 40 more minutes of the Walking Dead or whatever, and then you're like hoping that something crazy is going to happen, and it just doesn't.
Tommy has a really good question we're going to get to here in just 1 second on the Facebook live feed. Just as a show maker type of idea, you could have done, well, we had four episodes, one of them 90 minutes. You could have spent some more time in the kingdom. You could have intertwined some things from the hilltop and go ahead and start working on those things. But it's just been a thing for The Walking Dead forever. They decide each episode is one location, one set of people. We're just doing that one thing. And they won't intertwine stuff. The question from Tommy is a good one. Would you have decked Negan in the back of the head at the end of the episode when Rick had Lucille? Because there's no question Negan was baiting that. Negan was, here is my back at the end of this thing.
Oh, he wanted it.
He wanted him to do something. And the answer for me is, because I'm something of a hot-headed jerk. And I don't think well ahead. That's why I don't lead things. That's why Rick leads things, right? You think Rick should have done something different there?
I would have done it when we were in the bus, when it was just me and him. And I would have killed him. I mean, it would have been over. This would have been over a long time ago.
Could have stopped this already.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Rick, I had the axe in my hand, and I was in the bus, and Negan was in my face, it would have been over. I don't care about that gun that he had to pull it up. That axe would have been in his head before. Knowing that, disregard the conversation at the end with him and Michonne, no, because I think about my own daughter, and I would do anything to make sure that she's safe. So I don't know. Like, the man in me wants to just, like, I mean, I saw his fist, and I was like, oh, man, I would hit him so hard right now. But then I think about my kids.
How stupid is Rick to you? And hello, everybody, Pebbles Heath, everybody tuning in now. How stupid is Rick for not immediately getting back from what happened in that clearing, burning the log with the gun information and hiding guns everywhere?
Oh yeah, that was nonsense to me. I'm like, there's still a log?
What,
like,
are you doing with a gun log?
Yeah, they don't know that you have an armory.
Yes!
I mean, all that stuff. I'd be like, let's drive somewhere, give them to Jesus, give them to somebody.
Oh man, hide them all over the place.
Yeah, all over the place.
I mean, if
place.
You remember, just last season, we found in Alexandria where Maggie and, I think it was Aaron, went underneath the town, and that there's plenty of places to hide guns.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all the saviors know is you have some guns, and you have the guns you took from their outpost. That's all they know.
Right.
Hide some guns and burn the log. When the woman came out, her name was, it was Arat, A-R-A-T. The savior comes out, and they're missing two guns. I went, how do you know they're missing two guns? There's a log of
There's
the guns.
Log. Don't
who,
you know?
Who puts a log of the guns together?
Yeah.
Oh, I was, Rick is an idiot.
Yeah, that was a stupid move.
For that. Not a fan. And then, so another thing on Negan here. I'm a reasonable guy, right? With I'm gonna leave you your food. Did you have any reaction to? I mean, I don't know. There's an irration, the total irrationality of how Negan talks about these things. I'll ask it this way: do you think Negan actually believes the junk he's saying? Do you think he's that narcissistic?
I think he is.
I do too.
It's like Trump. I'm just
kidding. The guy is crazy.
He's crazy, and with the way that he wants to break them down so bad, okay, that literally they think that their stuff is his. Like, they have, like, he's like the government.
Yeah,
he's just like, I'm going to take your stuff, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to take.
Heath has an absolutely great point from the Facebook live feed. I don't register my guns now. Why would I do it in the darn zombie apocalypse? This is a good point.
I'm with you, Heath.
And so now I don't know. In the comics, they're left some guns, and Eugene is able to get a bunch of ammunition. They have something to fight with. I don't know where they go from here. And so let's do that coming up. Let's do a next week preview, and then we'll call it a day. It looks like the same. They only do one place at a time. They're going to go to the hilltop.
Yeah.
And the last thing we know of the hilltop is they just sent Alexandria to kill the saviors.
Yeah.
Right. So, doesn't Gregory have to die here? Doesn't somebody have to die for having sent Alexandria to kill the saviors?
if in do they know about that? Does the Savior? I mean, because I don't know if the Saviors know about that. Because if they did, then they would know about Maggie. It would seem like
my as I reverse engineered that, it was this. This outpost that got hit was the outpost connected to the Hilltop, and this only all starts happening once Hilltop and Alexandria become a thing, and they know it was the Alexandrians who took out that outpost.
Okay.
So I would expect some detective work there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that bright.
Right.
But I think they would, and they definitely are coming to the Hilltop. Right, we saw that in the preview.
That's the same. See, I didn't see the preview. So is it the Saviors that go to the Hilltop?
It's like 100.
Then they know.
Yeah.
Then they know.
They bring an arm.
There's going to be problems.
Yeah, I think Gregory might. Gregory stays and lives and on and on through the comics. I think Gregory's dead this episode.
I'm sure. Negan wanted his head
in
the first place.
Yes, I forgot about that. They actually sent him sent people in the first place to kill Gregory.
He's going to be held responsible.
Okay, so the big theme is the show has to start having hope again, right?
Yeah.
You got to start giving us some hope here. All right, so again, this is Corey Truax. Thanks for watching on the Facebook live feed. We're going to shut this down here in a moment. You are listening to the Walking Dead Rundown podcast from the Corey Truax Show. I broadcast live in Greenville, South Carolina on WLFJ Christian Talk 660 AM. And get all the other content. It's political stuff. It's church stuff. All kinds of other things. It's soundcloud.com/Corey Truax. Find everything there. And until the next episode of the Walking Dead Rundown, peace and love.